The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Abolitionist Radio, equipping Christians to abolish human abortion.
You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't keep me quiet, I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice.
And welcome back to another week of Abolitionist Radio. We want to end abortion in America today, now.
3,000 a day, the greatest evil of our age is in our hands.
3,000 a day is how many were murdered today and every day this past week. So here we go. Let's get equipped. Let's become doers of the word. And welcome back to Abolitionist Radio. We want to finish our interview with Tom Hoefling that we did a couple of weeks ago. Tom is America's Party candidate for president 2016. You can find him on the web at tomhoefling.com. That's tomhoefling.com. Want to say a couple of comments about both Tom Hoefling and Daryl Castle. We've talked about Donald Trump, the Democrats, Hillary Clinton, the Republican Party. We've talked to Daryl Castle. We've talked to Tom Hoefling. And it's our opinion here on Abolitionist Radio that Tom Hoefling basically represents what a president should be about when it comes to the abortion holocaust. Tom speaks in such clear terms. Tom speaks to the constitutional crisis, to the moral atrocity that is abortion, to the fact that 60 million human beings have been murdered on our watch in our country since 1973, to the fact that we have a judicial supremacy, a judicial oligarchy in this country that the people have not resisted, a tyranny that men of old would have gone to arms for long ago, decades ago. We would not have tolerated the sacrifice of our children at this rate. And what I mean by that is, I mean, hundreds of years ago, if you think about the Middle Ages, men went to war, men went to swords when their women, when their property, when their lives, when their sovereignty was threatened. We threw off King George III of this country, the revolution, when we declared independence, and that was over issues far less than the abortion holocaust. Men were willing to lay down their lives, lay down their property, give up their reputations for very important things. And we're at that time, we're way past that time in America at this point. There's no saving America unless America gets it that the Supreme Court does not make law, that the judiciary should be defied when necessary. And in the case of life of our most innocent neighbors, that's what should happen. So we want to go ahead and finish this interview with Tom Hoefling right here before the general election and let you hear more of what he had to say. And we do encourage you to not vote your conscience, but to vote principle at this general election cycle. Remember, in Idaho, 200,000 people could peel off their votes for a third-party candidate, another candidate, other than the two top-tier Democrat and Republican candidates, and it would probably not affect the election. But even if it did, you should vote principle. And we've had plenty of information here on Abolitionist Radio. We encourage you to check out our archives at abolitionistradio.com. You can tune in on your favorite podcast app. We don't want to be on the air for another decade. We don't want to be on the air for another 3 years like we've been on the air so far. So please check out abolitionistradio.com and this Tuesday vote on principle. The other thing we ask you to do is check out a new initiative petition here in Idaho. You can find it at abolishabortionid.com. We are seeking to treat abortion as first-degree murder in Idaho, to basically treat the murder of the preborn just like we treat the murder of the born. So please, please, if you actually in your minds oppose abortion and believe it is the moral atrocity of our day, go to abolishabortionid.com. You now have something easy that you can do. You can circulate the petition. It is an initiative petition that will place on the ballot in 2018 in Idaho, just 2 years from now. Legislation that would abolish human abortion in Idaho in every single case, making no exceptions. So go check it out, abolishabortionid.com. Now let's go ahead and return to Tom Hoefling. When we last talked, we were talking about the practical path to how an alternative to the two big party candidates can win. Tom, can you finish that answer for us from our last discussion?
As far as a practical path to winning, there's only one way for me to win, Scott, and that is for the church to get their act together and quit compromising with Republicans who have no regard for their oaths, no regard for the Constitution, no regard for equal protection under the law. Quit compromising with those people. According to Gallup, to this day, 75% of the American people still claim to be Christians. They claim that title. We know that a lot of that's cultural, whatever. But the fact is, if even 1/3 of the professing Christians in this country would stop compromising with the Republicans, who are totally corrupt, and they would vote for me, I would win. It is a mathematical certainty. So it's that simple.
I know you've talked about the election of Abraham Lincoln in other interviews. Tell us how he ended up winning the presidency without even being on the ballot in every state.
Yeah, he only had like 75% of the electoral vote available to him in 1860. He only won 39% of the popular vote, and yet he won the election with 58% of the electoral college. Now, how could such a thing happen? They had a fractured electorate with multiple candidates. Sound familiar? Our electorate is totally fractured. America's party, our people aren't fractured because we're unified around our faith and our commitment to a core set of principles. But most of the rest of the country is fractured in every direction. And we have multiple candidates. So this is not impossible. It's very difficult. The only way it's impossible is if the church won't listen to me. If they just refuse to let go of the lies, to let go of the deception, to let go of this system that even they know is destroying them. They know that these two corrupt parties are destroying our country. It's almost a consensus in the country. It's not even among, super committed Christians. You go out in the coffee shops, you talk to people, and you ask them, are you happy with these choices you're being presented? Invariably, they'll say no. I mean, even Trump supporters, they'll tell you, oh, he's horrible, but we're captivated by fear. So we have to obey our fear instead of faith and power and and love and of a sound mind. They're just going nuts.
Explain to me, Tom, when you talk about they're captivated by their fear, what do you think, as far as they're telling you, what are their fears that they're captivated by?
They fear Hillary Clinton more than they fear God. And just be blunt about it. Look, we got to stop playing this game. George Washington was a man of great character. He truly was our greatest president. And his words have been our watchword in America's party now for 8 years, which is, he said, if to please the people we do what we ourselves disprove, how will we afterward defend our work? Let us raise a standard to which the wise and the honest can repair. The event is in the hand of God. Until the church regains that humble attitude of, look, we're just going to do what is right. We're not going to play political bookie like the rest of the world anymore. We're just simply going to say, okay, who is it that actually represents us? Who is it that actually has a deep understanding of the obligations of the oath of office and who has a proven track record over years of actually advocating and fighting for those obligations? Until they just do that, find those kind of people and put them in office. Until we do that, it's all on the church, okay? Until the church does that in this country once again, there is no way to stop this death spiral. It can't be broken until the church breaks this pattern that we're in.
Have you seen in this election cycle any hope among some of the churches that perhaps you've been in contact with as to their reception to a candidate like you and the values that you're representing and throwing off this political two-party nightmare that we've been enduring for so many decades?
I am seeing hope. I'm seeing more and more people who are listening. You know, once people are confronted with the truth, when they're presented with the facts about how the con game that's been run on them works, once they're confronted with it, they can't run away from it anymore. So we are seeing more and more people are getting. We've been at this for a long time, Scott. We've been slowly but surely building, advocating, pounding all over this country for many years. And we are seeing progress. There are more people who are getting it. And the stark nature of the wickedness that is now permeating our politics is causing some people to wake up. So I do have hope that some people are turning. The names in this country, the big names, the people with the big mailing lists, they won't give me the time of day. The big name media people, they won't give me the time of day, Scott. They don't even have any time to even mention my name. The people that I represent, the people who are supporting me, are not the names. They're regular folks who have finally gotten it. Those are the people that are supporting me. If folks go to tomhoefling.com, there's a link at the top called Citizen Endorsements. You can read down through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of endorsements from exactly those kinds of people, just good, decent, principled people who have finally decided no more compromise.
Let me spell that website for our listeners. It's tomhoefling.com. And I do recommend our listeners all go there to see what's on your website. Tom, can you tell me what you think is the key to those average citizens finally getting it? What would you say to encourage abolitionists and other Christians as to how we can turn this thing around? Besides, obviously, the Spirit of God moving on people, and I'm sure that'd be a component to your answer, but what do you think is the difference to people getting it?
Well, I posted on my Facebook this morning, I said, look, it's a good thing to tear down idols, but if the people's hearts aren't changed, they'll just set up more. And I guess the answer to your question starts with prayer. And this is all tied in with spiritual revival. If you want civic revival, you're going to have spiritual revival first. The spiritual revival is the predicate for civil revival. So prayer, fasting, study, think, people, think. Think these things through. Read your Bible. Read the words of the founders of this country. Relocate that plumb line of principle that this country was founded on. And then set that as your line and don't deviate. It's going to take people, leaders who are willing to go out and boldly tell the truth without fear, without favor. Just tell the truth. Smack people between the eyes with the truth. Some of them won't like it, I guarantee you. There's a whole bunch of people that don't like me one bit. But the decent, the sincere people in this country, when it's all said and done, after they've got done grumbling, they'll thank you for doing that. We need thousands and thousands of people who get a solid grasp on the truth once again and go out there and lead and speak. Will the people respond? I don't know. Jonah didn't know. He didn't even think the people of Nineveh would respond. He kind of had a bad attitude about the whole thing. But guess what? They did listen. So I maintain hope that the people are going to listen. But I can't decide that. That is up to the Spirit of God working in their hearts, bringing conviction on people that, hey, we just got to start doing the simple right thing once again in this country, the simple right and wrong.
Tom, earlier in our talk, you mentioned George Washington is a president that had truly good character. Are there any other presidents looking back in history that you'd recommend our listeners study to see other examples of good character?
Well, sure, the first few. I mean, I know a lot of people like to rip on the founders and tear them down. You know, I'm an admirer of Jefferson. He was an absolutely brilliant man. I know a lot of people like to paint him as a deist and things, but he was a brilliant man, and he was far-seeing in terms of things like the results of judicial supremacy. He was far-seeing in terms of seeing what the fruit of the maintenance of the institution of slavery was going to be. He warned us. you go to Washington and look on the walls of the Jefferson Monument Memorial, you'll see his words. He warned us very explicitly. And guess what? In that one area, they did the wrong thing, the founding generation. And who had to pay for it? Their posterity, their grandchildren had to pay the price for that compromise. He foresaw it. And of course, I'm a big admirer of John Adams. John Quincy Adams was one of our most brilliant presidents. Madison, as well, of course, was the father of our Constitution. I'm a big admirer of his. I'm a big admirer of Lincoln. Some of my rebel friends in the South don't like me saying that, but I am. He, God cornered him. He was kind of a squishy Whig politician, and God cornered him through circumstances and ultimately made him do the right thing. I'm a big admirer of Calvin Coolidge, who sometimes they call the last Puritan. He was an excellent president. He wasn't faced with the kind of situation we are, but in terms of just, he balanced the budget. I think he was the last president to do that, and he was just a great president. I admire many things about Ronald Reagan. He did, finally, even though he signed the Therapeutic Abortion Act in California, which led to the deaths of millions of babies, he later admitted that was the worst thing he ever did, and he repented. And he began to invoke the 14th Amendment protection that is required for every person. He didn't think it all the way through, and he didn't carry it all the way throughout government as he should have, and it shows up in some of his bad court picks, which have perpetuated abortion. So I admire a lot about Ronald Reagan, but we've got to finish what Ronald Reagan started in terms of recognizing the personhood of the child and their protection by the supreme law of our land.
Tell me, looking at the more recent presidents, right now we've heard this year from men like Jerry Falwell Jr. and from James Dobson and from others that they even think because Trump got them all into a room and somehow convinced them that he had an election year conversion to Christ. What do you actually think when you look at recent presidents or candidates currently running about their understanding of God, the Creator, and his moral law imperatives, and whether any of the candidates are presently actually Christian, or have we had presidents in recent history that you think actually held Christian values?
Well, I certainly, although Trump and Clinton may wear a Christian facade, Jesus told us we could tell a tree by its fruit. And I'm not even going to get into the details. Any thinking, intelligent, knowledgeable Christian looking at the fruit of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton knows that these are bad trees. Barack Obama was a bad tree. He maintains a facade of Christianity. But this is a man with a foreign worldview, foreign to Christianity and foreign to the United States of America. And he's been the worst president in the history of the Republic. George W. Bush, I met him a few times. He's a very decent fellow, very likable fellow, but he certainly didn't turn the tide in any way. I won't get into whether he's a Christian or not, but while he had some basic decency and some good points, he didn't turn the tide either. Before that, of course, Bill Clinton was a horrible president, really degraded the country. George Bush was a globalist, liberal Republican who just basically squandered everything that Ronald Reagan had built. Go look at the presidents before the Civil War. It was a long string of mediocre presidents, and all that leads to is destruction down the line.
Mm. Tell me what you think about George W. Bush. Why did he fail, in essence, if he had some good characteristics? How did he fail, in your opinion, to do anything meaningful as far as the abortion holocaust and all of the other things that have come upon this country since his time in office?
Well, in terms of abortion, he just picked up the usual mask, the National Right to Life, pro-life industry mask, and wore it. I'm pro-life, okay? But what does that mean? What does that mean? What's behind it? No understanding of the proper role of government. He didn't understand the proper role of the executive. We saw that when he several times punted things over to the Supreme Court that he himself said he thought were unconstitutional. He said, well, we'll leave it up to the Supreme Court. That was a nonfeasance on his part. That was an abrogation of his own duties. In terms of judges, again, it was just the standard pro-life line, which has done nothing but embed permission to kill babies into our state and our federal codes. So he didn't get us anywhere on abortion whatsoever. Some brilliant person, I'm not sure who it was, went up in the last couple days and dug up an ad from George W. Bush's 2000 campaign saying, if you don't elect me, Al Gore is going to cause abortion to continue for decades. Well, we didn't elect Al Gore. We elected George W. Bush, and now we're heading for decades that this Holocaust has continued. So people got to start looking past the mass and dig down to the core of what it actually means to be pro-life. If you're not pro-life for all persons, you're not really pro-life. People just got to start thinking a little deeper than the deceptions that have been foisted on them now for generations.
Tom, looking past this election, if the people do not wake up in the churches and find you and support your campaign, and if you don't win this particular round of presidential election, tell us what we can be doing, what our listeners should be doing, generationally thinking in regards to the next election cycle, 2 years from now and 4 years from now. How can they stay connected to you, and how can they essentially grow in their knowledge and awareness to basically move the values forward that you represent?
Well, as I've said before, I've been at this for a very long time, Scott. On November 9th, the day after the election, I'm going to be doing the same things that I've been doing for years and years. I'm going to continue to speak. I'm going to continue to speak the truth. I'm going to try and continue to pull the church back from this abyss that they're staring at. So we're going to be doing the same thing. We're continuing to try and build America's Party all across this land. America's Party is 100% abolitionist. If folks go to selfgovernment.us, which is our main party website, selfgovernment.us, they'll see our platform and they'll also see our leadership pledge. Both of those documents have at their heart the Equal Protection for Posterity Resolution. In other words, every political leader in our party and every candidate that we endorse for public office has to be 100% abolitionist, no compromise. So, look, we may not win this election. If the church doesn't repent quick, we may not. But we're gathering up the best people in this land, and we are organizing them for the long haul. So up there in North Idaho, you know, we need people. If they sign up at TomHoefling.com to support me, or if they sign our affiliation agreement or our leadership pledge at selfgovernment.us, they're hooked up with us, and we will stay in touch with them, and we will work with them to build America's Party of Idaho, America's Party of Washington, etc. That's what we're trying to do, is organize principled patriots over the long haul to do the hard work from the bottom up that has to be done to save the country for our kids and grandkids.
Thank you very much, Tom, for spending time with us on our program. And I do want to refer our listeners again. That was selfgovernment.us and tomhoefling.com. And here in Idaho, please plan to write in Tom Hoefling and write him in for President of the United States for 2016 here in the general election coming up. And we thank you again, Tom, for your time.
Thank you, brother.
So, Arlene, we haven't heard from you. You've had an opportunity to sit back and listen to those interviews with Daryl Castle and Tom Hoefling, and we're just ahead of this general election. Do you have any thoughts?
I do, and I've also had an opportunity to see the gigantic, scary action that everyone is having on Facebook, across the internet. I would say that the principles of God are real. They're not a game, and he doesn't play by other rules. And so when people are having this big scary action and they're acting like, if I grab on to the closest available candidate, I'm going to be saved, they're failing to live by those principles of God. just like the Israelites grabbed onto the coattails of the king of Egypt, and they thought he would save them. He looked strong. He looked stronger than their opponent, right? But in reality, he was a snake. In reality, he was a deception. And the people of God today, in grabbing onto Trump, are being deceived. They think that the principled people are being deceived. But scripturally, if you look at the way God works, this is how God works. He doesn't work by human standards. He doesn't go by what we would perceive would be the safest or best course of action. He goes by his rules, and his rules are, you choose what I say, and I will honor that. I will protect you in the way that I see fit, but you are moving yourself out of my realm of protection when you grab onto the coattails of the king of Egypt.
And so we want to point you back a few episodes to what we talked about, Deuteronomy 1:13, Exodus 18:21, Nehemiah 7:2, a bunch of other scriptures. It's time, Christians, that you understand that you're not going to save this country by grabbing onto these two big Republican and Democratic candidates. It's time for the revolution, and it can be a bloodless revolution, but you're going to have to throw off what you've been doing for decades if you want to turn this country around. You're going to have to fear God more than man. And you need to start now. There's no putting it off. This abortion holocaust, you have 3,000 of your neighbors being killed every day because you won't take a bold stand and not compromise with evil. Ephesians 5:11 does not say to go along with evil, to compromise with it. It says to reprove it, and you don't reprove it by voting for it. We now have the opportunity to start the bloodless revolution in states across America. Here in Idaho, we want to point you to abolishabortionid.com. There is a no-compromise ballot initiative circulating in Idaho that will place on the November 2018 ballot legislation that would treat abortion as first-degree murder in every case. It would eliminate chemical weapons of mass destruction. It would eliminate the practices in IVF that destroy frozen embryos. And you can circulate the petition, and you can take a bold stand, and you can do something about the abortion holocaust. AbolishAbortionID.com. Thanks for listening to Abolitionist Radio. We welcome your feedback. Email us feedback@abolitionistradio.com and tune in again next week.
Tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see what I'm standing for.
Thank you for listening to Abolitionist Radio on the Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network. To learn more, visit abolitionistradio.com and abolishhumanabortion.com.
Keep me quiet, I will break the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now.
The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows, or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.